Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are now moving into verse 21 and following of Colossians chapter 1. And we recognize that Paul's hymn regarding Jesus Christ has now been completed. That covered verses 15 through 20. And it concluded with a grand crescendo talking about universal reconciliation. I did not say universal redemption, but I said universal reconciliation. The final verse, verse 20, says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." But now, beginning at verse 21, we come to a new section, and that's indicated, among other things, by the change in address. Now Paul shifts from talking about he and him to talking to you. That is, to the Colossians. He says, "And you," verse 21, "who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." And it goes on from there. And so he is taking this grand theme of reconciliation, which included all of the created universe, and he now narrows it down to what it means for sinners. And what we have in verse 21 is the meaning of reconciliation, and in verse 22, both the way and the purpose of reconciliation. And so today we're going to take up the meaning of reconciliation, the what, the how, and the why. That's where we're going. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, January 25. Many thanks for keeping in mind our need for your financial support to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Again, Colossians 1:21, "And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." Let's begin with the what. And there are actually two parts of what. There's the before and the after, the then and the now. What you've got, first of all, is their former condition. You who were once alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet, and here comes the other part, yet now he has reconciled. So their former condition is described by the words once and formerly. And in their former condition, they are described as alienated, that is, estranged. Sin severs right relationships with God. Alienated indicates a persistent and permanent condition which is serious and dangerous. And it means that all are, by birth and by their natural condition, alienated from God. Though many stoutly deny that, but that is what the Scripture teaches. And in that condition, those who are alienated from God are worshiping false gods. The ways of the true God seems alien to them. You see, the Bible paints the darkest possible picture of mankind, even though the Bible also portrays the noblest vision of mankind. It nevertheless paints the darkest picture of mankind. And the only way that mankind is going, and I shouldn't keep saying that mankind, the only way that any person belonging to humanity, belonging to mankind, is going to realize the noble vision for men, for man, for humanity, that God created for us in the beginning, is to recognize that something has happened to God's original creation. Something has marred God's wonderful design. And until we recognize that, acknowledge that, and seek a way out of that, which can only be found in God's designed way, because our condition is so dark that we can't get ourselves out of this condition. So when we recognize the truth of our condition, how utterly hopeless it is, and begin to seek a remedy from the only one who can supply it, namely our Creator, God Himself, and find that remedy in Jesus Christ, and believe the gospel, and embrace Christ, then and only then can we be restored to a path that will take us to that noble portrait of mankind that is painted for us in the Scriptures. So you see, and that was a long sentence that I just went through, I know that, a run-on sentence. But you understand that, yes, the Bible paints a noble portrait of mankind, the highest of God's created beings. But because of the fall, because of sin, the Bible also paints the bleakest picture of mankind. And some people have difficulty with those two portraits as if they couldn't possibly both be true. But they are. And we have to understand why they are and how each portrait applies to us and in what way. And that's what this verse is helping us to do. You who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. And so the position of the Colossian now believers, their position before they came to Christ was one of alienation, one of estrangement. Their attitude toward God was hostile. It was hateful. That was their attitude. He talks about what they were like in their minds. Did you catch that? Alienated and enemies in your mind. This is man's attitude toward God. The Bible makes it clear that human beings are not neutral toward God. That's a myth. Some suppose that they are. But the Bible makes it clear that there are only two categories of people in this world. Those who have already been reconciled to God, and their attitude toward Him is one of gratitude, one of love, one of devotion, one of thanksgiving, one of willing submission and service. And the other category, which have not yet been reconciled to God, and theirs is one of resentment, hatred, enmity. Why? Well, because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And somebody put it so well that sinners are looking for God just like a thief is looking for a policeman. Of course not. Of course not. A thief is not looking for a policeman. He's trying to avoid policemen. And sinners are not looking for God. They're trying to avoid God because they love their sin. And sin comes between them and God, and sin, the Bible tells us, is going to be judged by God. Men are going to be held accountable unto their Creator for their sins, which is their disobedience to the one who created them, and that's not a happy thought. And so men are not neutral toward God. They avoid him, and they abhor him. And that's the truth. Thoughts about God by the unconverted man are wrong thoughts, sinful thoughts, and dishonoring thoughts. Unconverted men have a misconception about who God is and what he's like. All kinds of misconceptions. Their thoughts about God are wrong because they either do not know what God has revealed about himself in his word, or they have rejected up till now what they do know. So their thoughts are wrong. And their thoughts are sinful. God has given commandments, and we, as sinners, have broken his commandments and continue to break his commandments and delight in doing so, desire to do so, insist on doing so. We are determined to have our own way, to pursue our own desires, which are contrary to his, and we, therefore, abhor God and avoid him every way we can. Our thoughts toward God are dishonoring God rather than honoring him for the great, majestic, beautiful, holy, powerful, wise, pure, and righteous, and just God that he truly is. We misrepresent him, fault him, criticize him, condemn him. If God's going to condemn me, I'll condemn him. I'll condemn him in return. But how foolish that is. It's like a gnat shaking its fist at a human being. You don't like me flying around here, this little gnat that's getting in my fruit or getting in my food or getting in my eye or whatever it may be? This human being doesn't like that, and the human being would like to remove that gnat from its presence. It's bothering it. So the gnat, in response, says, well, I'm going to dislike you. I will shake my fist at you. I will do you harm. Well, all that human being has to do, just at the proper time, the right opportunity, just squash that gnat, and it's gone. And that picture isn't even painted properly enough to represent the contrast between the greatness of Almighty God and the smallness of puny little man. Man shaking his fist at Almighty God is a laughable matter. In fact, that's exactly the way the psalmist puts it in Psalm 2 about those who vent their rebellion against God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. And he says, I will carry out my purposes in spite of your hatred and animosity and opposition. You can't stop me. You can't slow me down. You can't deter me in any way whatsoever. And you're foolish to think that you can. You absolutely cannot. But men keep trying because it's the sinful bent of our hearts. And so hostile and hateful and sinful and dishonoring. And it's not ignorance of God that causes men to act this way toward God. It is love of sin. As Romans chapter 1 makes very clear, it is our love of our sins that causes us to act in this way toward our Maker, Almighty God. But when we realize that, we come to Christ. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.